Brother Aaron spoke about having a great anticipation regarding hearing what this is all about. Well, I have a great anticipation, too. I really do. I wanted to, just for a moment, before we kind of get into the subject matter here, say that this has been a... I've been to several of the renewals. I haven't been able to make all of them, but I've been to several of them. And as we traverse time, not distance, time, each one of us, by the grace of God, is being transformed. So as we go up that hill, by the grace of God, the view is different. I learned a lesson a long time ago. Don't take all your pictures at the bottom of the hill. Give yourself some time, because once you get to the peak, there's some wonderful things there. And what I'm finding is that's true in the spirit as well. Aging in the Lord is wonderful. I praise God that we can do that. This subject now, we've been really working this one over here. And at first I thought it was a subject about God, but this ends up being God that we're studying precisely. When you start talking about abundance, you know, I've always pictured, I can see God, I can close my eyes and I can see this, I see this throne room and it's bright and it's glorious and there's a lot of activity, I'm not sure what it is, but there's angels in there and there's holy, 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 I see that. But once I transfer this long hair, see, the pictures, paintings, the concepts that we've seen through life, it's what men's minds have seen of God. Once I transfer that back down here, he's a whole lot like me. Once it hits the ground, his constraints are very, very uniquely similar to mine. Oh, wait a minute. See, now that's my view. That's my view. That is not at all what the Word says. And as we've opened these scriptures, this has been a whole new thing to me. Ask Nelda. I've been up very late every night redoing this and modifying this, taking things out, putting a few things in, and yet this... words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His, according, now see, this is packed. This thing is full. When you get to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's mine. I was going to come in last night and put mine behind me. Like Dean said, so you'll know no matter what I say here, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? That's my subject. Thank you, Brother Dean. I appreciated that. That was well said. But this concept, I have the scriptures, and I've read a lot, I've listened a lot, I've thought a lot, I've prayed a lot. Like all of you, I've been through some pretty deep water. And yet, this renewal, this session of meetings, you brethren ministering the Word, the Spirit taking that word, ministering it to my heart, has taken opaque, translucent sheets off the kingdom. And the view now is so grand, I am astonished. I stand before you as one that's being transformed by these very words in this very session right now. So I'm amazed at what I'm finding here. This is wonderful. We're concerned in these sessions about the wondrous subject of God's abundance toward His people. Mine specifically is abundant mercy. But everything we talk about is because of God's abundant mercy. There is no end to this the way it's laid out, okay? I researched a little bit this word of abundance because I did some of that because it was intriguing to me. I discovered this intriguing old phrase. The function of the word abundant, it's an adjective, which means it modifies, or it's a descriptive term. It changes a little bit. Etymology, it's from Old English, taken from Old French, taken from Old Latin, and it means precisely the same thing, abundans, present participle of abundere, to abound. And back in the 14th century, it's marked by the idea of, I like this, great plenty. Not just plenty, see, but great plenty. You would say, do we have enough food for this afternoon? Oh, we have plenty. No. We have great plenty. It's one of those that it multiplies the impact of the word. And what I'm finding is Every one of the scriptures is full of multiplying words. And the concepts that are revealed to us there take us beyond the realm of what we can see to the realm of what we can know about God and about eternity. These things are bigger. They're big. And I wanted to do this one more time. There's several of you here that haven't heard this. Something that fascinates me in life as a man is astronomy. And there are just two examples. And I've given this. Some of you have already heard this. A few of you have not, though. With the Hubble telescope, they've done some wonderful things, fascinating things. One of the first things that began to tell a little bit about the true creation as it is in scope was there's a dark place, and I forget the grid, but there's a dark place in the night sky that is the equivalent in size of 1 centimeter, a dot about the size of a dime, seen at 10 meters. Okay, now we have to. I don't have an object lesson here. The tip of that star, seen from where Sister Becky is. If you get an idea then of the scope of how small this thing is, okay. And what they did with the scope is they made a full power zoom after they corrected the lenses. A full power zoom in that little dark space. And what they're trying to do is to estimate mass. In that dark space, after they were all focused in, they began to count. Now again, this is 1 centimeter. It's, what is that, Al? Help me. A third of an inch, a fourth of an inch square, odd little square. They counted over 1,500 galaxies. Not planets. Galaxies. Like the Milky Way. In the tiny, dark speck. He created them. He calls them by name. And in passing, I see, these are scope statements that we're talking about. We're talking about the abundance of God. We're talking about the character, the nature, the person of God. Galaxies. Another thing. Everybody knows what the constellation Orion looks like. 3 big stars, and then down a little further, there's 3 more like this. 1, 2, 3. That's his belt. This is his sword. The middle one in his sword, 2 little specks in there, is called the Orion Nebula, from whence it takes its name. The Orion Nebula was always known to be large. It just looked big to them. With the scope again, they were able to estimate its size. Okay, this is the first numerical factor I could never comprehend. I stand before you now saying I found one. I'm a numbers guy from the computer field. If the distance from the Earth to the Sun, you all know that's 93 million miles, if the distance from the Earth to the Sun were 1 inch, the Orion Nebula would be 12 miles wide. Wrap your mind around that. See? And all he says in passing is, created the stars also. That's it. That's it. That scope statement begins to tell you what God is like, how God is in abundance. And see, he doesn't, but he never talks about the abundant stars.
Yes.
No, he doesn't use that term when he talks about that. He says, you know, they're more than, if you can count them, or if you can count the sand of the sea, he uses that for an equation, so you can hold it in your hand and go over that, or look at there and be amazed by it. But when he starts talking about heart matters, about soul matters, about our spirits, he starts multiplying words.
Amen.
Now, there's a reason for this. Mm-hmm. Abundant mercy. Those are just some of the examples. If we begin to discover anything about God's spiritual treasure toward us, it is that they are all abundant, both in scope and in nature. See, we don't have... My arms aren't wide enough. I can't hold this wide enough to tell you how much God does what he does concerning you. A thought. Now, here's a thought. Contemplate this for a moment. It can be argued that mercy is not an attribute of God at all, but his very nature.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. There's a difference. For God is love, and mercy is a direct manifestation of love.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It grows from within him. It is him. Love and his love made apparent in the gift of Jesus Christ. Now, in view of that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And for some reason, after we start this, I'm beginning to understand a little bit of what that means. It is God that works in us to will and to do. This all somehow begins to make perfect sense in how he so loved us, his abundant mercy toward us. Note the scope of the subject that we're trying to pursue today. And I'm talking about, mine is the abundant mercy. But again, everything we talk about regarding God has to do with that same extension of his love and mercy. It covers men who are living and those that have passed on. See, that's pretty abundant, isn't it? It covers this world and the world to come. It covers our works here. See, he's not. He remembers our works and our inheritance there. It covers the entire work of God in the earth and in heaven. Abundant mercy. And in speaking of glorious topics such as these, we often present a conflict or a contrast that anticipates the requirement of God's intervention. And here we find no exception, for we stand by grace as examples before all men. It occurred to me that our need was great, and our cause was desperate. God's answer was mercy, and his manner was abundant. Our text is securely nestled inside the first chapter of Peter. Let's read that. 1 Peter 1, I want to read 1 through 9, because this is part of that. It's like it's a core that spreads in every direction. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and Garner, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. It's the truth. That's how it is. We just didn't happen to have a street sign then. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I used to read through these, and I'm telling you that this session is changing how I see every scripture. When I look at these again, they are not, I don't see subjects jump out of there. I don't see a tenor come out of there. Now I see an absolute explosion of what this means. All of these, every aspect of this is God turning his face directly toward us. And I've always been amazed at how it seems that God has extended himself toward us. But I didn't know that it was so abundant. I didn't know it was both hands. My. Blessed, again, our verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our, now listen to this, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his, he's telling you this, abundant mercy hath begotten us. That begetting is a new birth. Begotten us again unto a lively hope, that's living, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All of this work is done because of us. Because of his abundant mercy and love for us. Goes on, to an inheritance, this is what he's begotten us to, an inheritance. Not just inheritance. See, this is the multipliers I'm telling you about. The English were always known for very brief, very stoic sort of yes. And they don't flower very much up at all. Well, this is true of the scriptures. But in speaking of these things, there's no other way to explain it. There's no other way to transfer this across. To an inheritance incorruptible. That's not enough. And undefiled. Well, that's not enough either. And that fadeth not away. Well, one more. Reserved again in heaven for you. How many more ways can he say it to us? See, this is part of our persuasion. This is why this, and I don't know if I talk about this later on, but this is germane right now. I always, and I think I mentioned this in our church back at home. Why did the apostles, remember when he talked about the sower, parable of the sower? He talks about all this, and they come up to him later and say, Lord, what does that mean? Okay. Okay, the field is the world, reapers are the angels, seeds the word. He goes on and he tells all this stuff, and I thought, oh, that's wonderful that he broke all this down. I mean, we could have assumed a lot of it, but he told us exactly what it was. Why didn't they ask that about every parable? Why didn't they? Because I wanted to know. And then it occurred to me, because he wants me to ask.
Amen.
He wants me to ask him. He'll tell us. He'll open that to you. How many times have we read that? Mm-hmm. If we ask or seek or knock. How many other ways can he say that? Amazing. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, and it's ready to be revealed in the last time.
Amen.
It's all ready. It's ready. It's going to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. And he's talking about life. Welcome to the world. Manifold temptations. That's where you are. Okay? That the trial of your faith, again, being much more precious. Now, whose sight is it precious in? Did I ever think about that? In his sight. Much more. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Not just praise, not just honor, but praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And what is this appearing of Jesus Christ? That's the time, remember, when the heavens and earth flee away and no place is found for them, for the glory and the majesty of his coming with the holy angels. And here we are being shown forth in praise and honor and glory at that appearing.
Amen.
Where have we been elevated to? Mm-hmm. Dangle a participle right in front of you. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not. He says it again, see, a couple of times. He wants you to know that he knows your position.
Amen.
Though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and that's yours. Receiving, listen to this, the end of your faith. What is that? Even the salvation of your souls. That's it. See? Bless God. The first thing I think after reading these passages now, and I'm telling you that I'm standing before you absolutely overwhelmed. When Brother Aaron prayed or mentioned when he first got up here the other day, he says, I'm bringing my loaves and fishes, and I pray that the Lord will multiply them to you. Well, I pray the same thing tonight, because I'm up here, and that noise you hear is bones smiting one against another. The first thing I think when I read things like this, starting, I'm telling you, this is new to me, is how large is this room that we're in? Remember old David said, thou hast not shut me up into the land of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room.
Amen.
Brethren, we are in a large room. We have. We shouldn't be surprised that every glimpse into the heavenly realm unfolds into something wonderful. In fact, we should always anticipate great things when we approach the Lord. My appetite was wrong. My appetite's so small. There's a problem with that. Well, I think this what we're seeing here is the natural man that's being, and this is a work, conformed to those things that are eternal. So, and we are transformed. I use that a lot. I say that a lot because it means something to me. It means that we aren't what we were yesterday. We're not. We're different. By the grace of God. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Paul said in Ephesians, now unto him, now that, see, we're doing this again. I just want to show these as examples. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Here, those are multipliers. We're doing times. This is exponentiation we're talking about here. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. See? Eyes and ears and never entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Abundant mercy. Great plenty. I like that. 200 years before the King James was written. That's what they were talking about. Oh, this is great plenty. It is great plenty. God's mercy now obviously is displayed, as we can count it, on two distinct levels. There's a general mercy that covers the earth in spite of the curse, and the abundant mercy that presents man with sonship. I think the first time that you see it very clearly is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:45. The last part of that verse, he says, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. And, oh Lord, have mercy on us in this time that we have." Brother Dallas, see, all Brother Dallas was talking about on the elevator there was being light, being salt. And we count the long suffering of God as salvation.
Amen.
You know, how many times in our young, foolish lives, in our older, foolish lives, could God have said, "Enough, away with him"? And yet he has not. We consider him, see, that's what that means, his long suffering as salvation.
Amen.
There is a bigness to the soul of men made in the image of God that I still don't comprehend that. But that God, once he set his image on man, sanctified this in some incredible way to serve him, made in the image and likeness of him. Daily he watches over the sons of men, and as in the garden splendor, he waters the grass for the beasts of the field. Mercy, absolute and pure mercy on all. And that's just like our loving God. It's the way we've always seen him. Therefore, man is left without excuse. God has given a witness to all. Yet there remaineth a rest for the people of God, an eternal rest of abundant proportions and flowing with tender mercy. The mercy that is displayed in God's gift of salvation is pictured as available to all men and is accessible through the grace of God to any who ask or seek or knock. Peter said it like this. He says, this is 2 Peter chapter 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith," like precious means, old King James, similarly precious, precious like yours, "precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ."
Amen.
The righteousness of God. That's how they've obtained it, see? This is legitimate. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power," not just power, divine power, "hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue." Now, this is one that you've heard several times already, but this is significant to me again. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." He's talking about promises. That's the point. The whole point's the promises. But you cannot talk about the promises that have been delivered to the saints without standing back and trying to take in the scope of this thing. And it's that big. And it takes exceeding and great and precious to even say the word promises. You've got to work your way there. It is so big. And this is by the Spirit working through the mouth of the apostle. "That by these," he says, this is the articulation of the real. This is the prospect, the promise. He's talking about the promise. This is not yet the reality. He's talking about the reality as in our hands, reality, momentary. He's talking about the prospect of the promise given to us, exceeding great and precious promises, "that by these promises," okay, that's what we hang on to by faith now, "you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust," part of which is our inclination not to believe all of the things that he's just said. Brother Tim, well, I'll talk about this in a moment. Brother Tim said, we may need to revisit the record again. Let's look this over. Look at the evidence. I agree, 100%. Many times look through this. See, this is, here's your instruction manual. Here's everything, the warranties here, everything. These adjectives are not exaggeration, but they're used to more precisely define what God has done for his beloved children through Jesus Christ the Lord. Every message brought has touched on some aspect of God's abundance, like Aaron's reference to the loaves and fishes. We each have found about 12 baskets full of fragments from each message. Now, what are we going to do with those? That's the truth. That's how it's ended up for me. This is typical of God's Word. Now, referring again to the parable of the sower, tell us about the parable. They asked, it was wonderful. Tell us all about it. And why didn't they ask him about all the parables? We would have had an explanation about all of them, right? Then in a still small voice, the Lord spake to me, and I mentioned to you through the Word, because I want you to ask me in all of these things. Mm-hmm. God's Word is full of evidence, loudly proclaiming his abundant mercies toward us. Your own life experience will also describe the very same thing to you. Abundant mercy. God gives sweet incentives to his children, the helps that undergird us on our journey. Tender, abundant mercy. God's abundance has given us a way of escape without even the smell of smoke on our clothes. Herein lies our difficulty. Okay, here's where we begin to halt sometimes. Remember Paul crying out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" This was not just a body of misery, not a body of pain or body of suffering, but he makes this point. The apostle said death, death. And our situation, brethren, is a serious situation. See, we stand without. Job said, "Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust." See, he knows our frame. "Which are crushed before the moth." The moth flies into you and you just fall apart. I've had moths that look pretty scary to me. I mean, I understand what he meant. All right? "Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints." That's chapter 15. "Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight." Those are not just words. Again, we have to understand. See, that is a temporal creation. That is something he spoke into being. The reality of this grandeur and this scope is all of this life and this time. See, God inhabits eternity. Yeah, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. I think that's part of the reason that our internals are so sometimes confused here. See, there is a war. We have the old man still in us. He says, "He putteth no trust in his saints. The heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man that drinketh iniquity like water." And it's something I didn't even know Job knew me. I didn't know he knew me. But here is where the but gods come in attacking these things. You know, even David talked like this. He said, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." Selah. Brother Tim said, sometimes we need to go back and look at the evidence again. God's word is, words to us is true, and we can rest in his love. Well said, brother. That's true. I want to encourage you once again, and I think I talk about that too. See, I'm jumping all around here because I'm excited about this and overwhelmed by what we've seen here. Okay. Jesus spent a lot of time presenting the truth of God's abundant mercy through as many parables and examples. One such familiar to all of us is the prodigal son. And I just wanted to scan through that real fast, make a couple of, I'll wind this up, I won't be very long here. He said, Luke 15, let's go through this. He said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me a portion of the goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, getting pretty close to home, huh? He said, "How many hired servants in my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran. Now, this is his father. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Boy, it kind of sounds abundant, doesn't it? And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf." Not just the clothes, not just the shoes, not just the ring. "Bring the calf. Kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. As I went over this, I discovered that I'd heard this story before. In every parable Jesus gives, the lost are found. The helpless have help. Those that need healing are healed. It's that abundant mercy thing. Every one of them. He displays over and over again the nature of God toward us.
Yes, amen.
And that's what it is. Every message that I've heard since I've been here has magnified this and been one of those multipliers to me of this whole concept of how God is toward us. The old songwriter said, and you all know this, "What more can he say than to you he hath said, unto you who for refuge to Jesus have fled." That's perfect. That's a summation. Bless the heart of the songwriter that did that. What are we supposed to think about this story and so many others that are diverse in presentation yet indeed similar in essence? What is the point? Is it that man's only inclination is only evil continually? Is that his only inclination? Yeah, I guess. That foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, like in this one. Well, yeah, that's true too. But in these parables, a larger theme appears over and over, that of God's abundant mercy toward men.
Amen.
That Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. That God himself is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that he, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What does this mean to us? Brother Victor Knowles said, "Faulty doctrine promotes inferior living. So we should know the truth, because the truth makes us free." Brother Ricky said, "In the arena where we were once slaves, we now reign." Yes, Brother Ricky, that means that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
The thoughts of the hearts of the brethren, they're paraphrases and quotes and weavings of the Word of God and the theme of a mercy that's abundant. Brother Bob said, "If the Spirit makes the spiritual environment more attractive than the earthly environment." Good, Brother Bob. That means we should set our affection on things above.
Amen.
See, these things all work together for us, and it goes on and on. We see that the Lord has already addressed these issues to us. All we have to do is believe. And that is a big deal. It is,
amen.
Brethren.
Amen.
I wish Sister Joan was here this morning. That personal testimony, I wanted to say something that she said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
That one that we're talking about, the one that we've been talking about here, I believe that. I'm convinced of that. And I want to thank just Sister Joan for her life. Please pass that on to her for us. And these scripture-covered walls here, these will last in the memories of all of us that have gathered here and are a tribute to this congregation's love of the truth. We commend all you brethren for this precious display and your kindness toward us visitors.
Amen.
And I commend all of us to begin a journey, to revisit all of your favorite scriptures and passages, to observe firsthand the abundance of God's mercy extended toward us. Remember, His Word is truth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Please pray with me. Our gracious Father, we thank You so much for the way that You have loved us, for this manner of compassion, for the abundance, Lord, of Thy care, and the abundance, Father, of the display of that care for us through Jesus Christ the righteous. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes wide and our hearts and be filled with the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Thank You again for these sessions. I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst bless all that are gathered here and all that hear the tapes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.